Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. Yeah, this is Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, and I'm glad you could join us again this week as we get into all things technical. Yeah, you know we love our technology here at Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. As a matter of fact, I am just seriously geeking out this week because I have a new laptop. Now, I know some of you are going, Dr. Bill, you got the MacBook Pro. Cool. No, I didn't get the MacBook Pro. Oh, well. Sorry about that. Nobody sent me an email. Not one person sent an email that says, oh, Dr. Bill, you got to get the MacBook Pro. And needless to say, nobody sent any money so that I might actually have the money to get the MacBook Pro. Oh, well. Anyway, I did get something, though, that was on sale. It's wonderful, I'm telling you. It's so cool. Now, to set this up, previously, I had an HP Pavilion 5000 series notebook. Very, very nice notebook. Lots of neat features, lots of neat little things to plug in, ports of all kinds, FireWire, you know, all of that, and that's cool, okay? My new notebook is an HP Pavilion 5000 series. And you say, but Dr. Bill, that's the same notebook. Hey, I really liked my old notebook. Did I mention that? Anyway, no, it's not really the same. It's a different model, and of course, it's much, 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 much newer and more modern. And it also is running the Windows XP Media Edition. Now, I know some of you are going to say, but Dr. Bill, you don't like Microsoft. You don't like Windows. Well, true to a certain extent. However, I will give them this. Occasionally, they do something kind of cool. And Media Edition is kind of cool. Okay? I'm sorry. But listen, this notebook has a remote control. Check it out. A remote control to be used with Media Edition. And now here's the thing that's amazing. When I started podcasting, and I'm just going to be all over the place today because I'm really kind of really excited. Okay. When I started podcasting, I had to go out and get a special mic preamp because when you plug, listen, how many of you know this? When you plug a mic into a computer, it just really doesn't work very well, okay? And so I went and got the preamp, and I hooked up the microphone, and everything worked fine. Now, that was on the HP Pavilion, the old one, okay? I plugged it into my work notebook, which is a Dell 510 model, and it didn't work, okay? Just no audio. So I said, okay. So then I get the new notebook, the new HP Pavilion 5000 series with Media Center Edition. Now, I don't know if it's because it's Media Center Edition and they had to have a cooler audio card in it or what, but I tried to plug my mic preamp into it and it went, what? And I went, wait a minute. So then I plugged my regular, I'm just using an Altec Lansing right now, headset that has headphones and a mic, you know, one of those that come down around your chin, so to speak. A regular headset. I plug it directly into the ordinary ports right here on the HP Pavilion, and it just works. No special preamp, no funky weird, you know, cables. I mean, dude, I could podcast anywhere. I could just put the headset on, plug it in, and go anywhere with my laptop, and I am podcasting. Check it out. Now, you know, I've got a slight kind of low-end hum that I can hear through the headphones. I'll be curious to see if I can hear it when I play it back later. That may just be some artifacting of some kind. I don't know. But the quality is fine for doing my voice podcast. This is awesome. Not to mention all the other cool stuff that it does. It, again, has all the ports that I liked on my old one, and it has the little media slots so I can put my camera, memory stick in there, and it's just, and it will read and write DVDs at 8X. Dude! It has the AMD Turion chipset, so that it's using low power and it's true 64-bit. It's got LightScribe burner, you know, so that I can get those CDs and burn the logos right into the CD, right in the player. Dude, I am loving this machine. It's got a wide screen, 15.4 screen, real bright, real clear, where I can watch videos and stuff, you know, through the media edition and the DVDs and all that. It's awesome. You say, well, Dr. Bell, I'm happy for you. Well, dude, it was on sale at CompUSA. And as amazing as it is, what this thing, now this is, you know, rebates, yada yada, all the stuff you have to do, put it down to $1,000. And for the doctor, this was a good thing. Okay? So I'm having me a time. Okay? Now, let me do some of the, what did I do? Oh, I know what I did. Silly me. I went to the Dr. Bill the Computer Convention website, and I clicked on podcast audio, and when I did, I accidentally clicked on starting last week's program. I didn't mean to do that. I'm sorry. Okay. Cut me some slack. I'm still kind of, you know, jazzed over my laptop. So, anyway, the reason I went here is because this way, you see, I have found, you remember how I usually get the number of the podcast wrong when I introduce the program? I found that if I go to my website, drbillthecomputercommission.com, or actually thecomputercommission.com, if I go there and I click on podcast audio and I look at the list, I can say, ooh, last week's was number 30. That means this week is number 31. Duh! And it is Dr. Bill the Computer Convention, the podcast for April 8th, as I record this, 2006, podcast number 31, for those of you that are keeping score. And I know there's some guy out there with a little pad going, yeah, okay, it was number 31. Okay, I got it. Yeah. Got to keep these things straight. Man, dude, get a life. Anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention that I'm really excited about. I'm really excited this week. This is Dr. Bill is excited week, okay? The other thing I'm pretty excited about is that apparently my compatriot from some time back when I worked at Guilford County, Scott Redmond, who, by the way, is a very cool dude and is a Reds fan. All right, yay Reds. You know, hey, I don't do sports, so what do I care? Anyway, Scott was bored, apparently, and he decided he was going to listen to Dr. Bill the Computer Convention, the podcast. And so he went and he clicked on it. And Scott, now see, here's the thing about Scott. Like I said, Scott's a real cool dude. And, you know, he's young, has lots of energy. Like I said, very into baseball. But at the same time, he's got this thing about graphics. The dude is a graphics guy, okay? And so he took one look at my website, Dr. Bill, the Computer Curmudgeon website, and he went, oh, man, I can do better than that for the header. And, of course, he's right. Scott is the man when it comes to graphics, and I'm serious. Dude, he can do graphics in his sleep. I guarantee you he's in there with his graphics in his head doing graphics in the middle of the night. He also does great electronic photos. I mean, oh, he's got some stuff he shot of cityscapes, and you think, dude, they're just buildings, but he makes them look awesome, okay? So, he is the man, and I will definitely say it. Now, look, I got an art degree. I got a BFA, Bachelor of Fine Arts, in painting, printmaking, and photography. Okay, circa 1978, cut me some slack. But at any rate, you know, that means we didn't get to play with anything electronic back then. I mean, after all, personal computers didn't even come around until 1980-81, right? So, obviously, I graduated well before we even had those technologies. So, anyway, I did the real painting on the canvas, right? Anyway, so, it's frustrating to me, having an art background, having a degree, that here's Scott. He can take on his computer. He can do things that, man, I just go, blah, 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 and wipe, you know, the drool. Oh, man. Anyway, so Scott's cool. And I put a link on my website to his website, Trad Web Solutions. And he said, but Dr. Bill, you host websites. Well, yeah, I know. But Trad Web Solutions, hey, Scott is the man when it comes to graphics, all right? So just check him out. You know, hey, you say you're promoting competition. No, I'm not. He's the man. Anyway, so Scott gave me a new header for Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, and it really is kind of cool. Now, he apparently went and looked up what the word curmudgeon means, and his definition that he put at the top is a crusty, irascible, cantankerous old person full of stubborn ideas. Dude! Okay. I'm not that old, okay? I'm just 50. You know, hey, that's just like what? Oh, that's less than middle-aged, right? You know, if you use the biblical definition, 120 years, all right. You know, God said you could have 120 years until you're satisfied. And so halfway would be 60, so that would be middle age. So 50, I'm not even middle aged, all right? Yeah. Anyway, so he gave me this really cool header, and I put it out there. And I got to looking at the rest of the website, and I said, you know, if I'm going to have this really cool header, I need to kind of, you know, just spiff it up just a tad. So what I did is I made some little icons over here on the right for homepage, so that if you're deep into the bowels of the website, you can click on that homepage icon at any time and get right back to the homepage, dude. All right, or you can click on podcast audio, and if you click on podcast audio, and a while ago when I did that, it started playing. I didn't mean for that to happen. But at any rate, you click on podcast audio, and it takes you to our streaming audio page on the website where you can listen to all of the podcasts, any of them, from one all the way through what will soon be 31, because I haven't posted it as I speak and record this. But right now, it's got 1 through 30. And so, and it has a little rundown of the show notes of all the different podcasts. So, you know, hey, it's cool. All right. Then I've got a link to donations. Now, you might say, Dr. Bill, why would you ask for donations? Because I want the money, okay? No, because there are expenses in doing a podcast. Yes, indeed. And I'm trying to spread the expense around to those of you who enjoy it. And I have had someone who actually contributed, okay? Okay, one person actually contributed $5, and I greatly appreciate it, okay? More people doing that would be really, really nice. But anyway, I've got that link there if you want to donate through PayPal. Now, if you don't have a PayPal account, first of all, you can sign up for one, and it's free. But if you don't want to have a PayPal account, you can also use this link through PayPal to use your credit card to send a donation to the worthy cause of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon. So there you go. I also have links to all of the various ways you can subscribe to the podcast. Although the very best way is probably just to get the Juice Podcast Aggregator software, which is free, install it on your system, which is free, and then link to the little link that I've got, very small, right there below the Get Juice icon. You just copy that, paste it into Get Juice Subscriptions, and you'll be subscribed to Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, the podcast. Okay, so that gives you a way to subscribe easily to the program. There you go. All right, well, we have just gotten all over ourselves because I'm just so excited about the laptop and all kinds of other things and the header and everything else. So let's go to the news now, and let's talk about some of the things that I blogged about this past week since the last podcast. First item, Microsoft will host Linux virtually. Now, it seems that that very warm place near the center of the earth froze over because Microsoft is including Linux as being a supported operating system under their Virtual Server 2005. Now, this is a a release 2. This is a beta. But when Virtual Server is released, it's going to have support for Linux. Whoa! Now, what I think is that this is due to pressure on the part of Microsoft customers that are saying, dude, look, we want Linux. And now, here's the thing. If you're going to have Linux anyway, why wouldn't you run Linux as your underlying host operating system and then use VMware or Xen or some other virtualization technology to have all your other operating systems running on top of that, because it's a much more stable environment. Why would you put Windows under it and then use this virtual server software, which of course you're going to have to buy, and then run it on top of Windows, which of course you had to buy, and then run other operating systems, probably most of those of which you'd have to buy? I said, dude, you got a lot of money. I mean, come on. But you could work smart instead of spreading all that money around. Just work smart and use free available stuff like Linux, underlying operating system, Xen, virtualization, run your operating systems, and life is good. But I don't know. Anyway, Microsoft's going to host it. Wow. Another wow for Microsoft this week. Here's one. Microsoft says malware? You got malware? You got spyware? You got adware? Dude, just give up. Okay? Don't bother trying to get rid of it. Just wipe your system and reinstall. Now, keep in mind, these are the guys that are saying they take security seriously. And they're saying just give up and wipe it. Hey, come on, Microsoft. What about your Microsoft Defender program that you have actually bought from somebody else? You know, the beta spyware remover thing you've got going, which is now calling Defender. You're saying not use that? Right. This was a program manager of the Security Solutions Group at Microsoft, Mike Dansiglio, and he said at a presentation at InfoSec World Conference, when you're dealing with rootkits and some advanced spyware programs, the only solution is to rebuild from scratch. In some cases, there really is no way to recover without nuking the systems from orbit. Sounds like my kind of guy as far as sense of humor, but anyway, dude, that's harsh. Anyway, another thing that I blogged on this week was rare for me. Normally, when I do a blog entry, first of all, I don't have a lot of time. Second of all, I'm trying to get it done quickly, and normally they're fairly short. Okay, just a little bitty, blip, this is what I think, and by the way, here's the link, and you know, just keep you informed, keep you abreast of what's going on in the tech world. But this time, I decided I would kick back, take it easy, and actually blog a little more at length on a topic that was near and dear to my heart. And so, we have the topic, the next big thing. Now, I would encourage you very, very strongly to go read this blog entry, or to send the link of this blog entry to other people that you know and let them know what the next big thing is going to be. Everybody's always talking about the next big thing. When Lotus 1-2-3 came out, and I know this is a long time ago, everybody's going, what, dude, you were alive back then? Okay. When it came out, it made a big splash because it was the next big thing. And that was a long time ago. Spreadsheets, wow. That was exciting back then. We were young, we were bored, hey. Anyway, the last next big thing there was podcasting, and this is a podcast, so ta-da! We're part of the next big thing from last year, okay? Well, okay, 2004, all right, cut me some slack, but podcasting became really big in 2005 is the next big thing. Well, now there's got to be a new next big thing, right? Right. So the new next big thing, according to the doctor, is IPTV. IPTV. You will be hearing more and more about IPTV. I guarantee it. Did you ever watch the Louisiana Show? Back that up. Okay. The Louisiana Chef dude on PBS, he always said guarantee. Okay, so that's where I got that. Guarantee. Okay. If you never saw him, he's really kind of cool, all right? He reminds me a whole lot of my father-in-law, actually. But I digress. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about the next big thing since I've been trying to get to it. Okay, here we are. I'm just going to read it to you because that just will make it easier. All right. Most of my blog entries are short and to the point, providing links to other sites for detailed information on the topic. However, this entry might be a bit longer than usual. Why? Because this topic is what I believe is one of the next big things on the internet and in society at large as well. What is that topic? IPTV. What is IPTV? It is television delivered by internet connection or internet protocol, IP. Just as podcasting started as a grassroots effort by some highly geeky individuals like me that love technology, so IPTV or vodcasting, video on demand, VOD, has started among those geeky few that are interested in the technology. In fact, it is based on similar technologies as podcasting, such as RSS feeds, really simple syndication, RSS. Most RSS feeds of weekly video programs are being made available, more RSS feeds of weekly video programs are being made available, and more excellent free software is being developed to allow users to easily connect to the feeds of these vodcasts. I personally listen every week to Patrick Norton and Robert Herron on DLTV, which is Digital Life TV, talk about tech issues in a similar manner as the old Screensaver show on Tech TV before G4 bought the network and destroyed it. Other great shows on many topics are available as well. Here's a link to Ziff Davis's Digital Life TV, and then I've got a link there. I wanted to use this posting to tell you about two great software platforms that you can get for free. One is the Democracy Player. Why Democracy? Because almost anyone with a strong enough desire can create TV content and serve it out via an RSS feed. This is the great democratization of video content. Doctor using big words, dude. Anyway, no longer are a special few able to program only a few channels of content. Now we can all provide content to people that have interests similar to us. The Democracy Player is available free from here. And I provide a link and you can go download it and use it. Very cool software and free. Okay, another great player is called FireAnt. Okay, I know that's a weird name, but cut me some slack. It is also open source and free as well. FireAnt delivers a rich media experience through a simple to use, unified viewer that lets you watch all types of content without having to worry about which format it is. QuickTime, Windows Media Player, Reel, Flash, MP3, and more. This is a slicker, somewhat cooler looking player. And they make it very easy for content providers to provide content via a one-click subscription process. They have a little thing on their website which will allow you to build this one-click subscription for your program, and then put it on your website as a link, and click, and they're subscribed. Cool. Check that out, and I've got a link to the FireAnt player. Watch this trend. You'll be hearing way more in days to come about vodcasting or IPTV. So, mark it down. The doctor says it's going to be big, okay? There you go. All right, let's move along. We're running out of time. Apple does Windows. Apple announced this week that the next version of OS X will allow dual booting. It'll actually have a program called Boot Camp that will allow you to boot into Windows as well. Now, obviously, you've got to have a copy of Windows legally. Come on, guys. And you got to run Boot Camp on your Mac. And you got to have enough disk space to have a virtual drive to allow you to boot into Windows. So, lots of caveats there. But anyway, it actually happened. Apple is condoning running Windows on Macs through their software, all right? Now, in a related article to that, I'm going to skip one article and go to the next. Related article to that, a company called Parallel Computing has released a program that will allow you to run Windows in a virtual session on your Mac, virtually. Also Linux. So you can have virtual operating systems in a window on your Macintosh. To me, that sounds a lot cooler than dual booting, because dual booting just takes too long and blah, blah, blah. You got to do all this stuff. It'd be better just to click, open up a window, do whatever Windowsy stuff you want to do, close it out, get back to your Mac or Linux or whatever, okay? So virtualization to me is better, and that's available now too. And I've got a link to that article, and you know, which talks about this company Parallels and their Parallels Workstation 2.1 software. Okay, now let's talk about the article that I skipped. There's another really bad Internet Explorer exploit. Dudes, why are you still using Internet Explorer? It should have zero usage on the web. I'm talking zero. Nobody should be using Internet Explorer anymore. There's just not any good reason for it. The only possible good reason are for those very few times that you need to use ActiveX because Microsoft forces you to when you do a Windows update, okay? Other than that, there's just no need to use Internet Explorer. And you don't want to because it's dangerous. Man. Anyway, you know about what phishing is. Phishing with a P-E-H. Phishing. All right. Phishing is a process by which they put up a website page that says, here, enter your personal private financial information because we're somebody you trust. When in fact, it's really a completely different website and you're giving them the information so they can rip you off and steal all your money. Dude, okay? So phishing is bad. And this exploit allows fishers to do it very, very easily. And there's actually even, this is really cool, you ought to try this. Click on this link, go to this website, which I think is Secunia, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. And they have provided an actual demonstration of how this phishing technique works. You ought to crank it up and see it, because once you see it, you'll go, man, I am never using Internet Explorer again. It is a dog with fleas. Alright, so do that. Life will be better. Alright, last item for the week. Only half of current corporate desktops. Now, these are corporate desktops. People with money. Okay. Only half of corporate desktops are Vista ready. Now, I should say, when I say Vista ready, I'm talking mainly about the Aero Glass interface. Alright, the new cool looking Mac-like interface that everybody's so excited about for Vista. Only 50% of corporate computer systems are ready for it. Wow. That's actually more than I thought there would be when it comes right down to it. But people are going to have to buy seriously cool video cards to be able to run Vista. Now, my new laptop, of course, is Vista ready. Dude, I really like my new laptop. I really, really do. Okay. So, anyway, 50%. Now, this is according to a Gartner study. The Gartner Group does a lot of very high-powered, highfalutin studies. You know, yes, they put their suspenders out and thumbs under their suspenders and say, we are the Gartner Group, and we say that 50% are not yet ready for Vista. And, of course, that causes the industry to go, what are we going to do? And, of course, the video card makers going, ah, dude, we rock. Okay, so people need to get ready because they're going to have to get ready for Vista, and they're going to spend some money. And, of course, spending money is what Microsoft is all about. They want you to spend your money on their stuff. So there you go. Well, I hope you have thoroughly enjoyed this week's edition of Dr. Bill the Computer Curmudgeon, because I sure have, and I'm just so excited about my new laptop. Once I get off the podcast here, I'm going to go play with it some more. So, I guess I'll just head on out of here, huh? Yep. I get to play with my laptop. The doctor is out!